would you give us a shout here at the station? We won't give out your number, Paul, unless you want us to give it out. But do you want us to...
I don't mind. People call me every time I put out newspaper articles or radio. I've never had anyone phone me back.
All right.
And I'm not the only boxing club that's in trouble at that premises in Kildare.
Oh, I know that. I've just mentioned that. Listen, if anybody out there might have a premises that they'd be prepared to rent to Clane Boxing Club, and the boxing clubs are very reputable and they do wonderful work for children with special needs, for those who might be marginalised, but for adults as well in regards to that. You might give Paul Roberts a ring. 087-922-9672. 087-922-9672. And if you can't remember that number, give us a shout here at the station and we'll link you up. Premises very badly needed, otherwise that club will go under. Paul, thanks for telling us the story and good luck with that.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for that.
All right. Good morning. Okay, let's move on. And the GAA has rolled out its anti-bullying and internet safety program to over 100 GAA clubs. Let's find out more about that because I'm joined by the chairperson of the National Safeguarding Training Committee of the GAA, Des Colinan. Des, good morning to you.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
Now, Des, you have another role, which we might talk about later on before at the conclusion of the interview, but we'll keep that a little secret for the minute.
No problem.
There might be certain opposition out there who might be looking to listen closely to any plans that the Independent Republic of Cork might have down the line.
But anyway,
this particular issue, tell us about it. What's it about? What happened yesterday?
Yeah, basically, yesterday we launched in partnership with Google our internet safety and our Give Respect, Get Respect initiative. I suppose, look, the GAA in every club, in every county, in every province is, you know, working with hundreds of thousands of young people, and obviously we take our responsibility seriously in how we interact and how we influence young people in their lives, not just on the football or hurling pitch, but also maybe off the pitch. So we've been looking at internet safety, which is a big fact of life now at the moment for everybody, young adults and even senior citizens. Now everybody is on some social media platform, and it's just about promoting kind of good use while in the context of a GAA club, because let's call it, you know, we have seen in the past where there have been incidents where, you know, social media has been misused maybe, and comments are passed about players and about referees and about other clubs and stuff like that, and, you know, even about people within their own clubs. So we're just trying to get a message across, like promoting, you know, responsible behaviour online. And you know, we're broadening that in then to an anti-bullying message where, you know, we're trying to encourage a zero tolerance of any form of bullying in clubs or in county teams or anywhere within the GAA organisation.
Well, indeed, here in the county during the week, indeed, in his post-match interview last Sunday, last Saturday evening, Kildare manager Glenn Ryan had a swipe at what he called the abuse of players and the criticism of players online, and he referenced local media, and I took great exception to that because the fact of the matter is none of the local media carried out what I would call the kind of abuse that goes on with the keyboard warriors on Twitter. He was dead right to call out that, because the abuse that goes on of players and managers, we have seen, for example, where the Meads a situation where the manager has just stepped down following the big defeat they had recently to my native Clare in the football, and Andy McEntee's son, who's a member of the Meath panel, came out publicly to slam the kind of abuse that his father was taking online and saying it was unacceptable, and people will disagree, nobody will disagree with that. Now, as Glenn Ryan said, the one thing he did say I agreed with, the best thing is not to look at it. But it's hard to avoid it, is it not, Des?
It is, and look, social media now is such a part of young people's life. I don't think there's anybody really in Ireland between the age of maybe 5 and 85 that doesn't have access to a smartphone now. And, you know, everything is live, you know. Yeah. I mean, you go to an under-12D football match and there's nearly a picture of it up within 30 seconds of an incident or anything like that. Or, you know, if somebody does something very good, that's highlighted. But if somebody does something silly, maybe that they're not proud of, you know, it can go viral within the space of, you know, a couple of minutes. And we're just conscious of that, like that. We just ask people, you know, before they post an image or post a comment, especially about underage players, you know, that they just think twice and they just act responsibly. Like, the bottom line is, you know, don't ever post anything about anybody else that you wouldn't like to see posted about yourself.
I suppose that's sound advice. And what people actually forget, they can be sued for what they post online. So there's people out there who think that, you know, I can post what I like about anybody and that there is no comeback on it legally. There most certainly is.
There is. And look, but like, that's the high end of it. And I mean, whilst we're...
Yeah.
Condemning what goes on at adult level and everything like that. I mean, we're focusing on the kind of the 9 to 12 age group.
And if I might come into you there and say, because if we get back on topic then, and this Google program of Be Internet Legends, helping children be safe and confident as they explore the online world. And I see in regards to that, they say, to make the most of the internet, children need to make smart decisions. Be Internet Legends empowers younger children to use the web safely and wisely.
That's right, and we don't want to discourage, you know, the use of the web. And our slogan is be smart, be alert, be secure, be kind, and be brave. And I think they're all laudable kind of ambitions. You know, we'd all love our kids to be smart, to be alert, so that if something comes in that is upsetting, that they flag it with some adult within their club. You know, and our coaches are very aware, like, the contribution that GAA coaches and sports coaches in general in other codes as well make to Irish life goes way beyond their remit. And, you know, a lot of young kids will tell their coaches things that they may not tell their parents or their siblings. And, you know, it's just important that we give them the tool that if something starts and there's comments even about them online, not to ignore it, you know, bring it to an adult, and, you know, we then can deal with it, you know.
And how will you impart this particular strategy to those young children? Is it via the coaches in particular?
Exactly,
of individual teams?
No, we initially had a pilot where we had about 12 clubs in, and the response was excellent. So we're now broadening it to 100 clubs in Ireland and Britain. Actually, we have a couple of British clubs involved as well. In the initial pilot, we had Clane actually were very active participants, and they gave us some very positive feedback about the whole thing. And we have another Kildare club now very active in it as well. Rathcoffey are going to take part in the next pilot phase. So in cooperation with coaching and games, we've devised a series of kind of drills that are taking place on the field, but they also get the message across about internet safety and anti-bullying. And it's done in a fun way. It's not in a classroom setting. It's kind of done in a fun way where the kids participate themselves, and it makes it far more beneficial to them, you know. And then obviously on our website and our social media platforms, we'll have resources available to clubs and to parents and to kids that they can go in and look at good practice and just have a bit of fun. And I think that's the key thing to this, you know, that we're not coming out and demonizing social media, because there's so many positives about social media. And in fairness to Google, you know, they want to be responsible kind of social media platform providers as well. And this partnership was initially rolled out in primary schools and with Barnardo's in Ireland, and in England it was rolled out in a number of sports organisations as well, cricket and soccer. And the response was positive. We've tweaked it now to be GAA specific, because we obviously just didn't want to copy something in this totality. And we believe that when we launch this pilot now shortly, that the feedback we'll get from the 100 clubs will lead us to refine it even further and launch it nationally then. And we are very excited about it, you know. But there's a bit of work to go into it as well, in that, you know, the club will be central here, and you know, it's what they want to get out of for their own kids as well. Every club will have different kind of backgrounds. There'll be urban clubs, there'll be rural clubs, there'll be big clubs, small clubs. But again, social media transcends all that. So we certainly have that level of responsibility, and we in the GAA Safeguarding Committee take it very seriously.
Indeed,
you know?
It's a fantastic initiative, I think. The GAA in partnership with Google launching its anti-bullying and internet safety programme, 100 clubs, as Des has been telling us about there. It's part of the Gaelic Games Give Respect, Get Respect initiative, and incorporating Google's Be Internet Legends, which you can look up, by the way, on the internet. Be Internet Legends, the programme helping children bring the respect and values they learn on the field into their online interactions, encompassing learnings and activities in the areas described by Des there of anti-bullying, positive behaviour and staying safe online. It mirrors the Give Respect, Get Respect initiative, which promotes respecting fellow players, coaches, referees, opponents, officials, playing fair and treating others equally. I think it's a fantastic initiative, very timely, and indeed timely message to everybody out there, particularly those people who sit behind their anonymity and throw dirt and muck and abuse at people. No player goes out onto a field to play badly or to make mistakes. And before you press that button, think of that. And children, young children, are particularly vulnerable. Now, Des, we'd love to help you in another guise. I don't know, are we the ones in position to be offering any Cork football selector advice as to how to play Dublin in the All-Ireland Senior Football quarter-final?
In fairness, no, we always appreciate everything we get from Kildare. You gave us a couple of good footballers there maybe 20 or 30 years
we
ago.
We did indeed, Shea Fahey and Larry
that
Tompkins.
Had a big impact. And then we gave you Brian Murphy from Cork, who's been very involved in GAA.
He did, and Brian has won Leinster minor titles.
And he's involved in your underage squads and everything like that. So
yeah, and he gave that famous pass for that great goal that Martin
right,
Lynch got.
There's always been a good relationship. No, we actually will be playing each other in the league next year, so we could be in Newbridge or you could be in Parkyqueen, so we'll cross that bridge when it comes, you know.
Well, the advice we can give you in regards to playing Dublin, given what happened in the Leinster final to Kildare, which is not a reflection on, you know, the Kildare team is better than that, as they showed against Mayo at the weekend. In terms of yourselves, I might suggest prayer, a novena. Listen, the best of luck.
No,
I have great affinity with the Independent Republic of County Cork.
Yeah, but hopefully, no, we'll look. It's a good day out for us and we're looking forward to it. And just going back to the internet legends, I'd just like to give a big shout out to Roberta Farrell, who's a member of our national committee and a proud Kildare woman and, you know, very involved with Camogie and has made a huge input into this programme as well. So yeah. Kildare have had a good influence on this as well, you know.
Well, moving from Kildare, being a bannerman myself originally, we were happy to hand out a few hurling lessons to the Cork boys this year, but you're a football man, you'd have nothing to do with that.
Well, my club is Glen Rovers, so I'd be very involved.
Oh, jeez. Glen Rovers. Oh, the Glen. The Glen. Absolutely steeped in the tradition of Cork. Des, it's great to talk to you. Chairperson of the National Safeguarding Training Committee of the GAA, Des Cullinan, also a selector with the Cork Senior Footballers. Sincerely, best of luck to them against Dublin in the All-Ireland quarter-final. And that programme, if you want to look it up, folks, you can Google Be Internet Legends, because it is time to stop all that kind of stuff that's going on and protect our children. And if we educate our children in these particular attitudes, well, then they will become responsible adults in time and we can counter it as well.
Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you, Des, and a very good morning to you.
Take care, bye.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Okay, coming up, news about what's happened to Prosperous and Alamut credit unions. But first, Ciarán, you have some breaking news regarding the protocol.
Yes, the European Union has announced it will launch fresh legal proceedings against the UK. This is in regards to the Northern Ireland Protocol. A senior official at the European Union has warned that the UK could be brought before the European Court of Justice within 2 months. This is over unilateral action that the British government did take last year. Just to remind people, Clem, the protocol is part of the withdrawal agreement when Britain did leave the EU. It was a compromise to prevent a hard border, and under the deal it meant that Northern Ireland left the EU alongside the rest of the UK, but the British government accepted that it would stay aligned with the EU's single market rules for goods. And as we know, the Foreign Secretary Liz Truss and the Prime Minister Boris Johnson have gone back on that in recent weeks in particular. So more to follow, of course. Quiva will have it at 11 o'clock.
All right, thanks. thanks for that, Kira. So the British saying that this legislation they've published now, it could be up to a year before it's actually enacted. But the EU certainly not standing in ceremony and getting the legal eagles on the go again. They'd previously suspended that. By the way, have you just, Rose Devine, if you just hang with me for 1 second, I need to do this. Remember this lady, folks. Seymour Quinn, winner of the Eurovision in Oslo back in 1996. Now, why did I throw that in? Because Seymour Quinn is going to perform next Wednesday, June 22nd, at St. Bridget's Cathedral in Kildare Town. Doors open at 7:30. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. It's €25 per person booking fee, plus booking fee to purchase them. Or you can purchase them at Kildare Heritage Centre, the Square, Kildare Town. If you don't book them online, it'll be cheaper. So Kildare Heritage, the Square, Kildare Town. Because the Kildare Derby Festival, as you've been hearing, takes place from June 18th to June 26th as part of course, the Derby at the Curragh and that. You can find all the information on the various events which will be taking place. There are up to 15 different ticketed events during the festival and it's all on their website, kildarederbyfestival.ie. And Emer Quinn performing at St. Bridget's Cathedral, Kildare Town, next Wednesday night at 7:30. Tickets, €25 each. I have a pair to give away each day until the concert, right? If you're interested in a pair of tickets for that concert on next Wednesday night, just text voice, text or WhatsApp voice to 0833 97 97 97. Text or WhatsApp voice to 0833 97 97 97. Don't forget to add your name and where you're from. We want to know, of course, who you are. Rose Devine, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Clem. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And you too, Rose.
Thank you for having me on.
The wonderful voice of Rose, of Emer Quinn there with the voice.
Fabulous.
Now, Rose Devine, in Prosperous, what's your problem?
The credit union, the local credit union, has been closed since COVID times. It's still closed, as is the Allen Wood branch. I tried to get an answer from the what we would deem the head office there in Kyle Dove. I contacted them earlier on in the year, and I got an answer to say that due to COVID and due to short staff, that's why it was closed, but they didn't know when it was going to be reopened. And a number of people have been contacting me since and wanting to know, have I heard anything more? And I said no, but I said I'd get back onto it. So the last couple of days I've been passing the time. I contacted a number of councillors, and one of them has rang me back to say that he had no information on it, but he would inquire for me and let me know. So I'm still waiting to find out exactly what's going to happen. Now, I've been told by some people that the building may be going in for another, a different use. But so be it. It would be nice for the people of the area to know exactly what's going on, because there are a lot of elderly or senior citizens that avail of the services who can't travel to, say, Kyle Dove or Clane, and even Clane used to open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, now only operate on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday morning. And it's, you know, it's inconvenient.
It surely is, because so many services, and you know, so many of these services are moving from various communities. Owen, if you're with me there, are you?
Yep.
Did we inquire of the Prosperous and Allenwood Credit Unions are a member of Cree Lion Group, are they?
They are, yeah. And I went onto the website yesterday afternoon, and it says on the website that the Allenwood and Prosperous Credit Unions are temporarily closed. So that would kind of tally up with what Rose is saying. I got in contact with them to say, first of all, why are they closed? Why are they still closed? And are there any kind of view that they will be opened in the next while? And I asked, could we have a statement? Now, we haven't had a response from them as of yet, but if we do get it, we'll bring it to listeners.
All right, Rose, we'll follow up on that for you, okay?
Oh, that's brilliant, and thanks very much. Appreciate it. Just, it'd be nice to know what's happening. If it's going to close, well and good, we know what's happening.
Yeah.
But at the minute, it's all up in the air.
Yeah, and the word temporarily is used, but no further information. So Owen will follow up on that for you later on, and we'll bring you news of that as soon as we get it from Cree Line. Maybe they'll provide a spokesperson and tell us what's going on or what the intent is in regards to the credit unions. Very important to the communities of
very
Prosperous
so.
And
yes.
Allenwood.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, Rose.
I appreciate that, and thanks, Owen, for everything as well.
Thanks a
mill,
Rose.
Never mind,
bye
Owen.
Bye-bye.
Don't mind, Owen.
I'll do all the hard work for you, Rose, no problem.
Okay,
and
Clem, you
Rose.
Mind the weekend there now. The best of luck to Wexford.
Oh. Rose. Okay, Owen, we're not following up on that at all now.
I'm a hurling fanatic like yourself, and very much want the Leinster team to win.
Yeah, we'll all be shouting for the yellow bellies, Rose. You're dead right.
Exactly.
Rose, be back with you here on Monday morning. Where
right,
you can drown your sorrows from Semple Stadium.
Yeah, well, let's hope we have a good game anyway, whatever the outcome is.
So say all of us. Thanks, Rose Devine Prosperous. Thank you.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
Well, the North Kildare Arch Club are calling out for volunteers so that they can continue to provide services for the local community and people within it. And on the line now is chairperson of the club, Susan Keegan. Susan, you're very welcome to the programme. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. So tell me a little bit, first of all, about the North Kildare Arch Club, who you are and the work that you do.
Well, the North Kildare Club is 35 years old and it's always been in the Leix Slip area. And I suppose what we do is we provide a social outlet for people with special needs. You know, we'd be very lucky, like, that we have St. Rayfield in our area. We have Stuart's Hospital that have lots of houses around the Leix Slip and Lucan area. So we have about 140 members on our books. Any one night, we'd probably have about 70 to 80 members, and we badly need volunteers. I suppose what we do weekly is they just meet socially in the club, they get their cup of tea, they have the chat, they might do a little bit of basketball, there's music, which is very important to them, and then we have, of course, a party for anything. So we have a Valentine's, Patrick's, Easter, summer, Halloween, you name it. We have a birthday most weeks, which we have a cake for, and the summertime the club stops. So it kind of finishes up at the end of June, opens again in September. So we have train trips then in the summer, maybe two or three. We might go to Cork, Galway. So this is what we really need the volunteers for. You know, we really are badly stuck this year because a lot of our volunteers have gone up in age. So, you know, they're not going to come back out again. They've decided, you know, so...
I think it's great, and some of those activities that you mentioned there sound fantastic, and they're so, so important for people with special needs to get out and to be able to socialise and to, you know, meet other people and carry out these activities. Where, I know you said you're in Leix Slip, but whereabouts are ye based?
We're on the Green Lane. We're in Scullan Fall in Leix Slip, in the hall in Scullan Fall. It's right beside the St Mary's GAA Club, and we meet there on a Wednesday night, usually around anytime after 7 until about 9. It's a great spot for them. You know, there's plenty of parking, which is very important for everybody. But there's plenty of parking around there as well. So the bus, you know, is anybody in a wheelchair or whatever. And we have a few of them. But, and you know, our members range, like our oldest member is 81. His name's Joe Phillips. And, you know, we have lads that are only 15 and 16 starting to come to the club now. Do you know what I mean? So, it caters for all ages and all abilities.
And it covers the area as well of the likes of Leixlip, Selbridge, Lucan and the surrounding areas, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
They come from all over. Okay, and if people want to volunteer, then how can they do so? What can they expect when they volunteer? And what exactly are you looking for them to be able to do?
Make the tea, very important. just come along, you know, chat. They love the chat. They love to see a different face. You know, they love to know all about you. And I can guarantee you, you know, 99.9% of people that come in our doors today, do you know what I mean? They do like it. They get a lot of love and they get an awful lot more back than they put in. And I can guarantee that. You know, you come out of that club on a Wednesday night and you're full of love. That's what you're full of, you know. And you're always in great form after the club. So, I mean, I'm probably 16 or 17 years now volunteering there. And I really look forward to my Wednesday night now.
Look, I suppose we don't want to fear the worst, but if there isn't enough volunteers here or people don't come forward, does it run the risk of you not being able to provide the kind of services that you're doing?
It sure does. You know, we would really definitely have to cut back. Like, what we're thinking, if we don't get the volunteers, what we'll end up having to do is just do the parties. You know, like at Valentine's, Patrick's, Easter, summer, Halloween. So there's like maybe 6 or 8 weeks between every one of them parties that the lads will be, you know, they won't have this club to go to. And they won't, you know, they all meet their friends, but this is on a social. It's, you know, it's not in like a program or in work or, you know, it's a social, you know, outlet for them. And, which is fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And just before we let you go then, Susan, if people want to get involved, if they're listening here in the local area and they think that is something that I could do, I could, you know, spare a couple of hours on a Wednesday evening there to help out, how do they get in touch with yourselves?
Well, we have an email address and it's northkildarearchclub@gmail.com. They can email myself or Valerie. We'll get back to you ASAP. We'd love to have you. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, the email address again, North Kildare Arch Club, that's ARCH, archclub@gmail.com. Susan Keegan is the chairperson. Valerie is also involved there, and there are a number of other great, great volunteers doing
some fantastic work. There's quite a few. So listen, thanks for taking the call, and hopefully this will get a few out of this.
Definitely. Well, best of luck with it and keep up the great work. Susan Keegan, chairperson of the North Kildare Arch Club. Thank you.
Thanks, Owen, and thanks, Susan, for that. Now, we were scheduled, at least we were told, this is the second time in 3 weeks this has happened, Owen, and I think we're just going to have to decide, make a decision on this later, that we were to have crime time with Garda from Naas Garda Station today. And now we cannot make contact in regards to that. And as I said, isn't this the second time this has happened?
I think so, yeah. I think the other, was it last week or the week before, yeah?
Last week, when we were contacted, the Garda that we'd been told would be providing the item, we to our surprise, the Garda told us, I don't know anything about it, I'm on holidays. So, I mean, we can't have that scenario, and it is not the first time, the second time, the sixth time, or whatever, that it has happened. So unfortunately, those of you waiting for crime time, it doesn't seem we're going to be able to bring it to you today. And as to whether we'll be bringing it to you in the future, well, I'll be getting on down with the powers that be very shortly after the programme to find out, because it's just not acceptable. Now, before we push on, Owen, to the area of prescription drugs and the difference in prices between this country, which is shocking, and countries on the continent. News just breaking today in an associated issue that we've covered here on this programme is the average waiting time for patients accessing emergency departments last month was over 11 hours, with Mercy University in Cork recording an average wait of 21.6 hours, the highest in the country, with Cork University Hospital, that's the second hospital in Cork, the second highest. So Cork, whatever's going on there, the highest waiting hours and the second highest waiting hours, 21.6 hours and 19.6 hours for that. The figures have been provided by the HSE to David Cullinan, the Sinn Féin health spokesperson who's been on with us on this programme recently. Now, the figures show that there's an average of approximately 18 hours in Tallaght University Hospital, 17 in St. Vincent's University Hospital, 15 hours in University Hospital Limerick, 13 hours in Galway University Hospital, and 11 hours in Navan General Hospital. And as you know, the HSE has announced it's closing the A&D Accident and Emergency Centre in Navan General Hospital, and the people of Meath are very upset about that. 35% of emergency department patients anywhere in the country are waiting longer than 12 hours. And the figures also reveal that those aged over 75 are waiting longer when compared with others. You'd imagine that it might be shorter waits. And Owen, only recently on this programme, we carried the story of a listener, Mick, we called him, which wasn't his real name, and he told us about his wife's experience in Ness A&D. And Owen is gone.
No, I'm here, sorry. I was just, I had got a phone call from on Garda Síochána, so I was just speaking to them.
Did you?
We're putting, obviously, crime time to tomorrow.
Why?
I had to go. When you...
I want to know.
I had to go when you had called me, so I will call them after the programme to speak to them, yeah?
But have you been speaking to them there in the last minute or so?
Yeah, but just when you called me in, I said that I would call them back after 11.
Did they tell you why we have nobody this morning?
No, not yet.
Right, it's not the way this thing is going to work, and that's the bottom line. And I'll be making a decision after this, because we can't have a scenario where we're flagging an item on the programme that we're told that a particular person will do it, and then we can contact that person, or when we do contact that person, they don't know anything about it, and it doesn't reflect well, I have to say.
Yeah.
So, and it causes us significant disruption, where at the very last minute, we then have to go chasing to find alternative subject matter for the programme.
Yeah, no, we'll get back onto them after 11 right, o'clock. Okay. You were saying there, sorry, about
was
this emergency
about
departments.
The average waiting times around emergency departments around the country,
yeah,
which is showing in Cork a high of 21 hours, but generally across the country an average of 12 hours. And we were joined by Mick Undy last week on the programme telling us about how his wife spent in way in excess of that in accident and emergency in Ness General Hospital.
Yeah.
In fact, 24 hours plus, I think.
I think it was, yeah, 22, 24 hours in A&E, which was, you know, silly amount of time
again,
that he spent.
And again, we want to emphasise, this is not the fault of the staff. This is the fault of under-resourcing of these centres. And surely, it must be the most ironic name ever given to any department, accident and emergency. Because emergency suggests now. It needs to be addressed now. And the idea of people coming up to an accident and emergency, and I know not everybody who turns up there has an emergency, and maybe that is the way to deal with it. And the HSE advising people, please do not go to A&E as a convenience, just as a handy place to go. It is A&E, which means accident and emergency. But then Mick's wife last week had been referred by her GP, who obviously considered it appropriate that she go to accident and emergency. But having gone in there at 9:30 in the morning, I think it was something to, she was offered a blanket at one stage,
yeah,
and it was up to 24 hours later,
yeah,
when everything was dealt with.
The other thing as well, we mentioned this in the papers yesterday, and obviously it's been in the news over the last couple of days, the closure of the A&E department at Navan Hospital.
Yeah, I just mentioned that while you were on the phone there to our absent friends on Garda Síochána Conas, so I dealt with that.
Because that could have a knock-on effect now to, you know, the surrounding counties, including Kildare, because also those in the north of the county, the likes of Johnstown, Bridge, Kilcock, Enfield, Navan would probably be their closest.
Yeah, well, the people in Navan are being told, go to Drogheda now. So it goes on and on and on. Mm. Let's get to those prescription charges, Owen. And I'm down, well down, Paul Cullen's report to the Irish Times on this, which is that the most expensive pharmacies in Ireland are charging almost double the prices imposed by the cheapest pharmacies. The researchers from Trinity College and the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland found aspirin, for example, costs €9.12 in the highest charging 10% of pharmacies, but just €4.62 in the cheapest 10%.
Yeah. And
now, how can a packet of aspirin cost €9.12 in one pharmacy and €4.62 in another? The cost of prescription paracetamol varied from €5.12 to €9.93. And that of a steroid drug called prednisolone, never heard of it, ranged from €6 to €11.25. Run down the variation, Owen, in some of those products.
You're giving me all these pronunciations here that I'm not going to be able to pronounce, but Vimovo, the minimum was €13, the maximum €22.41. Famelixclover, €27 was the minimum, €60 the maximum.
All right, the next one is Venlafaxine. Yeah.
Yeah, €5.49 was the minimum, €15.66 the maximum. Eltroxin, €6.20 the minimum, €20 the maximum.
Now, I want you to skip down to one that people are familiar with. That's for asthma, the salbutamol inhaler.
Yeah, that was €3.50 minimum, €12.52 maximum price.
I want you to go down then to atorvastatin. For you who won't need one of those, but Clem uses them.
And is it for cholesterol, is it?
There is statin for cholesterol.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know that?
I've heard you have to go in and take your cholesterol tablets there a couple of times.
I beg your pardon, there, those are my eye drops.
Are they, yeah?
Don't be telling my whole medical history to the whole county Kildare and the surrounding counties. Now, atorvastatin, which is a statin which I do buy, and I'm particularly interested in this, I'm prescribed it. Yeah, it ranges in price from?
Yeah, €4 minimum up to €19.66. That's
that
an incredible.
Is absolutely outrageous.
€15.
That one, you can get a atorvastatin for €4 in one pharmacy, and it can be up to €20 in others. What about, and we've mentioned paracetamol and aspirin, you might as well do those again.
Yeah, well, the minimum €2 paracetamol, they're probably for the unbranded. €13 is the maximum, so there's a difference there of €11. And aspirin, €1.68 you can get it, is the cheapest, or €11.12 is the most expensive.
Now, if you were scrolling down there, the study highlighted a separate issue around transparency, with up to 15% of the 1,500 pharmacies surveyed refused to provide a price for a medicine by phone or email. Hardly any provide them online. Outlets such as Frayne's Pharmacy in Clondalkin, whose website lists the prices of 20 common drugs, are very much the exception. So pharmacies not listing their prices. And I have mentioned in the past the whole area of cold sore. In this country, a little tiny tube of cold sore cream can cost you up to €10. You can buy a tube three times the size of that for €6 or €7 abroad in Spain and in other countries as well. So the next time you go in, you might want to compare prices in terms of going around the pharmacies, with in simple issues like paracetamol ranging from €2 a packet to €13 for the same packet, aspirin from €1.68 a packet to €11.12 a packet. And if you're on a statin for cholesterol, prices ranging from €4 in some pharmacies to nearly €20 in others. Shocking stuff indeed. Thanks, Owen.